In this fifth in the series of nine short ideas, I continue to explore the inspiration of the late Abraham Heschel, who was asked 10 days before he died what he would say to the youth of the world. And he said this: remember that there is meaning beyond absurdity. Know that every deed counts, that every word has power. And above all, remember that you must build your life as if it were a work of art. Here in this fifth part, I look at the challenge of meaning and ego. Part 5, Meaning and Ego. The months that followed that pivotal weekend in late January were seemingly turbocharged with new hope and direction. I quickly hooked up with a small group of youth who felt similarly motivated to make a difference in the world. I worked hard and passed a 2-year course in just 8 months to secure a place on a teaching degree starting that autumn. Most significantly for me, I got a summer job in international youth work in Austria. That summer abroad exposed me to outstanding leadership, a holistic way of working with young people, mind, body, social, and spiritual, and exposure to the wider world. I had summoned the braver part of me, stepped into a new country with a different language, and was meeting and working with youth and youth leaders from across Europe and beyond. Suddenly, the world was a bigger place. In fact, compared to the summer of the previous year with its lowest of lows, my world was unrecognizable to me now. And yet something remained that wasn't changing. It had taken me a long time to begin to see that finding meaning beyond absurdity as a young person wasn't just about discovering leadership and transcendence, but required a showdown with my ego. What I can explain now, I could not have explained at 19, but I desperately wished that I could have had elders in my life who could have prepared me for my journey. Maybe in that final Sunday afternoon session, focused on the heart and character, I was offered clues, but it took me a long while to spot them. The I, the me, I know as Trevor, my identity, is often called the ego. What I hadn't understood in my youth is that my identity was still a work in progress. The ego is and was the developing sense of self, being formed through childhood and youth experiences. The ways in which they're processed and the conclusions that are drawn from them. For me, it was a real mix, made even more complex by the crushing failure of the previous summer. I had created a catalogue of conflicting conclusions about myself, and I believed them to be true. Beliefs such as, I'm an activist, I'm an idealist, I'm a romantic, I'm a great friend, I'm shy, I'm a risk taker, I am weak, I am strong, I'm not that clever, I have a sharp mind. The things I really didn't know about my ego at 19 were twofold. Firstly, I didn't know just how hungry my ego was to feel good about itself. That didn't start with exam failures, but it was seriously compounded by it. I was hungry to be seen, to be impressive, for people to be quietly amazed by the seemingly altruistic actions I took. I wanted to be seen as strong, invulnerable, resourceful, the guy who gets things done, makes things happen. I didn't want to be seen as weak, fragile, and defenseless. The second thing I didn't know about my 19-year-old ego was that it was provisional. As young people, we create a provisional sense of self based on met or unmet needs, good or bad experiences with others, and the personal meaning that we make of it all. We build and try out versions of this provisional self, like putting on a suit of clothes and stepping out of life's changing room to see what a watching world makes of us. Like? Dislike? Works? Doesn't work? Keep it? Change it? This provisional self is the normal scaffolding that every single young person ever born constructs for themselves. For some, the provisional becomes permanent. Hence, to truly help us, when we're youths, to discover the meaning beyond absurdity, we have to, like the ancients, learn how to face down our ego and live from a more genuine, authentic self. We must discover the underlying foundational DNA, our essence, rather than the provisional scaffolding that should just temporarily support its growth. From Jung to Richard Rohr, the message of wisdom is consistent. This journey to the true self, as it's often called, is generally the work of the second half of our lives. The work of making friends with ourselves as a human being, rather than a human doing, and surrendering what was vital, provisional self in exchange for the discovery of our true, authentic, larger self. As I sat in that room on the Sunday afternoon as a 19-year-old, while meaning was propelling me beyond the absurdity into leadership and transcendence, my ego was quietly dragging like ballast along the ground and was trying to convert this newfound energy into a project of how to get noticed, how to be impressive, and how to be invulnerable. This would have been a good moment to be sat down by the equivalent of the village elders, or taken on an initiation rite, as the youths of countless generations before had done, and face down the ego. But the good news that I identified was that deeper discovery of transcendence and the sometimes bruising reality of leadership conveyed to me the message that the universe is for you, not against you. I had learned that life, generally, serves up plenty of opportunities to change when you're ready to receive its teachers.